be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome once again to The King's Man, a program about authentic masculinity. I am Mark Houck, your host, with you second and fourth Friday of the month right here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM, Doylestown, Philadelphia area, 1420 Coatesville, Chester County area. It's great to be back live in the studio here Friday, August 25th, the Feast of St. Louis. That's St. Louis of France. We'll talk a little bit about him, what the Magnificat has to offer us today. If you haven't read your Magnificat or know anything about this saint, what a great saint for today's theme. We're going to be talking about God's provision on this program today. And we're quickly approaching the anniversary of the King's Men Apostolate next Monday, August 28th, the Feast of St. Augustine. We will be celebrating on the golf course. Always do the last Monday of August, an annual tournament. It's actually the Deacon Steve Santillari Memorial Tournament, named after the great friend of the King's Men, Deacon Steve Santillari, who passed away a few years ago from colon cancer, was elevated to deacon a year before his ordination. Archbishop Chaput was given the request to ordain him a year prior to his actual ordination because he didn't have a good prognosis with his four-stage cancer. And, of course, that ended up being providential because he only lived about another year of his life. And he said it was the best year of his life, which was his last year, his diaconate elevation year. And anyhow, we remember him. We pray for Carla and the family, the Santillari family. But the memorial tournament in his honor is the Kingsmen's annual tournament. We'll have it on Monday at Letterack Golf Club in Harleysville. So if you like to golf and you'd like to come out and play and support a good cause, obviously would love to have you. You can contact me through the website, thekingsmen.org. Enough of that. We'll talk a little bit about Augustine. Augustine is our patron saint, and it's appropriate on our 11th anniversary that this celebration is happening next Monday with the outing, his feast day. So we pray as we usually pray, to Augustine, as we begin our time together, his prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. We ask St. Augustine to pray for us. Of course, St. Louis of France. Have you ever been down to New Orleans, Louisiana? Nolens, as they say, maybe down there. There's the cathedral there, the St. Louis Cathedral, where the Archbishop, I guess that's where his chair is, huh? That's it. That's his seat. Let's learn a little bit about St. Louis of France, shall we? St. Louis the Ninth reigned as King of France from 1226 to 1270. Pretty long reign there. That's about 44 years. He labored to create a just Christian order throughout his own kingdom. On the world stage, he promoted Christian Europe, boldly authoring the last two Crusades. Louis and his wife, Margaret, had five sons and six daughters. And what is said to have been Louis's final testament, he urged his son Philip to fix your whole heart upon God. Isn't that beautiful? Father urging his son, kind of like David to Solomon, fix your whole heart upon God. He counseled Philip to avoid sin, make frequent confession, and rule his people with justice and moderation, always bearing, quote, a tender, pitiful heart for the poor, end quote. Louis died while on his second crusade in Tunisia in 1270. So as the French would pronunciate his name, King Louis of France, his son Philippe, his wife Marguerite, would be Marguerite, rather, would be how that we would pronounce, I believe, in French. Used to be a French teacher, so it's been a while, but nonetheless, St. Louis, pray for us today as we begin our time together. As we're coming to the close of the summertime, I hope you've had a blessed summer. Boy, it feels just like yesterday. It was Memorial Day weekend, and we were just launching the summer. But here we are, a week away from Labor Day weekend, and kids are getting ready to go back to school. And we're talking about God's provision today and all that He wants to do for us, both spiritually, emotionally, and certainly physically. We'll get into that today. I wanted to give you an update on the King's Men in the last couple of weeks. We did a program here 2 weeks ago. We pre-recorded it, and it didn't take. I don't know what happened, but we pre-recorded in the studio, and it just did not. We didn't have a good recording. So it's been about a good month since I was last in the studio live with you, and it's nice to be back. The King's Men have been busy traveling and doing a lot of things around the country. We had our Mask and Genius Institute, which was held in Villanova, July 12th to the 14th, and that was a fabulous experience. Men came from all over the country for that. We recorded it all. I believe I was there the time I was supposed to do my show here at Holy Spirit Radio, so we'll probably air maybe that talk once we get that recording. That'd be nice in the future. But we just got back from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We did our Into the Wild there, our 41st Into the Wild. I believe that was the 41st. Might have been the 42nd now that I think about it. 41st, though, I think. And it was fabulous. We had a great experience. We had two newly ordained priests with us. They're about 6 weeks ordained for that diocese, Pittsburgh. And what a blessing that is. I don't know if you've ever been to a first mass or ordination. But these priests, during their first year, are given these special graces and indulgences to be able to extend to the faithful. So if you receive a blessing of a newly ordained priest, his first mass or so forth, you receive a special indulgence there. Now, we had these priests with us, two of them, hear confessions and celebrate mass. So we had two walking indulgences with us. And of course, we prayed for the Pope, and we tried to separate ourselves from sin, full attachment, detachment from sin, no attachment, that is, and received Holy Communion, confession, all those conditions for a full indulgence, and we had the blessing of the priest. So many men walked away from that retreat with wonderful graces, and it was a fabulous experience. We returned to Pittsburgh after about 3 year hiatus, and it was a nice homecoming for us to come back there and celebrate with some of the guys that were with us 3 years ago, and some new brothers welcomed into the fold. And it was just a great anointed experience. Was happy to be out on the western side of the state, serving the people, serving the men. And, of course, it's our outdoor experiential retreat, so we were doing a lot of wonderful things outside, orienteering, archery. We built a beautiful cathedral in the woods, which Father Gregory Plow, TOR priest from Franciscan University at Steubenville, came out and said it was met the standard for one of his top five cathedrals or churches. He said it took number five for him. Of course, St. Peter's being in there and other churches, but it cracked his top five. So that's a wonderful story. Excuse me, emerging from that Into the Wild, Father Gregory giving that message to us. He talked a lot about detachment, detaching from the world and unplugging and giving ourselves the opportunity to hear the voice of God, the still small voice, which we heard on that weekend about Elijah on the mountain and hearing the tiny whispering sound. That's the way God spoke to Elijah. And so we have to detach if we want to hear those voices. We want to hear the words of God, as St. Joan of Arc would hear her voices, she would say. And it's Michael Archangel would speak to her, and St. Margaret and other saints, St. Catherine, visiting her and encouraging her. Still small voice of God coming to us. We have to detach. We have to remove ourselves and unplug. So hard for us to do with all the noise around us. Now, Catholic radio is great noise. It's certainly encouraging and enriching our lives, and certainly we encourage you to listen often to Holy Spirit Radio. But at times, turn down the volume on just sit in silence. Yes, sit in silence and wait. That's a lot about what we're going to be talking about today is this provision of God involves waiting. And it's not always comfortable for us. We want it now. We want to know the answers. We want to know what our next step is going to be. And sometimes the Lord wants us to step out in faith into the darkness without knowing where we're going. It's a blind faith. It's stepping out of the boat onto water. Right? The Sea of Galilee is a big sea. And Father Plow actually talked about that. It was the reading at the Mass on Sunday of that retreat, August 13th, was Jesus walking on the water and Peter stepping out. And he said when he looked at Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. When he stopped looking at Jesus, in other words, Jesus' eyes on him and his eyes on Jesus enabled him to walk in faith and do amazing things. But when he stopped looking at Jesus, he stopped looking at him, he started to sink. And when he looked upon him again, he rose. And so he said, I've been on that Sea of Galilee, Father Plow said. And that's a pretty scary image. I was on the water when a squall came forward or came through, and it was scary. So Peter stepped out in a really scary time on that water and walked amidst that storm. Wow, incredible. So we have this provision of God, and sometimes he asks us to do amazing things and walk on water, and other times he asks us just to sit and wait. And we'll talk about that today on this program. Maybe that's what you're doing. Maybe you're in a waiting period right now, discerning, what is the Lord asking of me? So we have that Into the Wild experience. We're going to have another Into the Wild, by the way, coming to the Quakertown area, the last one here in Pennsylvania, September 28th to October 1st. I seriously implore, urgently, in fact, all the men listening today, all the women listening today, to encourage your men in your life, men, to be encouraged, to consider taking one day off of work, Friday the 29th of September. That's all you need to do. And come out and experience here locally this outdoor experience retreat, which has brought nearly 3,500 men all across the country to this experience. Over 40 retreats now. Amazing men, amazing experience. Come, bring your sons, bring your grandsons, bring your nephews, bring your godsons, bring yourself. Come and experience with the wilderness of God here locally and experience your faith in a manly modality. Experience the sacramental life of the church, perpetual adoration in the wilderness. Great food, executive chef cooking for us. Great experience. Go to intothewildweekend.com to register and take advantage of the savings that are there for fathers and sons. And if you have any issues financially, give us an email. Tell us your situation. We'll try to help you with some financial assistance for those retreats. And that's intothewildweekend.com. Again, the outdoor experiential retreat that's been going on since 2009. We started it, the King's Men. We sponsored it. And I get nearly 3,500 men have been coming to that retreat. So that's coming up here in the local area. We also have our 13th Samson retreat. Our Samson Healing Retreat for Men, that's November 2nd through the 5th. So if you'd like to come to that one, that is another powerful experience, a little different, whereas Into the Wild is kind of all men invited. Samson is for all men who are seeking healing in their life, seeking answers for some of the things that they are just questioning in their lives, why these things have happened, the way they've happened, whatever the scenario. Maybe you're a divorce person, a divorced man, and you're trying to work through all that. You're a widow, a new widow, or you've been a widow, I should say a widower, for a while now, or you've experienced tremendous pain from your past, and you're kind of trying to cope with that as an adult, or you're struggling with a certain sin in your life. We all need healing. And so a healing retreat might be very efficacious for you to come to. And that's in New Jersey, in Hamilton, New Jersey, off exit 28 of the Atlantic City Expressway, about 45 minutes from downtown Philadelphia. And we do it at the Discovery House, which is the birthplace of post-abortion healing in the Western Church. Praise God. Father Mike Mannion started that, and we'll have Father Jim Hutchins there with us as chaplain again. And the Samson Leader Team will be there taking you through another experiential healing weekend. That's Samson. Go to samsonretreat.com. We also have our second of the year and our third Judith Retreat. This is a healing retreat for women, which we started last year at the request of women. I fought them off for about 10 years before I could finally cave to their request. 10 years, women have been saying, "Do you have something for us? Do you have something for us?" I said, "Well, it's a men's ministry. We'll pray about it. You know, maybe you might want to start something yourself." And they kept coming, and they kept coming. Well, the Judith Retreat was the answer. So the Judith Retreat will be at Malvern Retreat House, the Family Life Center, November 10th through the 12th. You can register through Malvern Retreat's website, malvernretreat.com. Judith Retreat. If you want to learn more about the Judith Retreat, go to judithretreat.com, and you can see what the retreat is all about. But it will be at the Family Life Center, November 10th to the 12th. Now, this retreat is usually a four-day, three-night retreat, but since it's at Malvern for this third offering, we're going to be a Friday to Sunday. So the retreat costs are different. So when you go to judithretreat.com, you might see a retreat cost on there. Ignore that. Just go to Malvern Retreat. I think it's malvernretreat.com. Or just Google Malvern Retreat House, and you'll find it. Look up retreats. You'll see the Judith Retreat November 10th through the 12th. Ladies listening in the audience, that is an invitation for you. And that's been an incredible experience led by Sue Brinkman and Lydia Britton, wonderful facilitators for this program. We will have the charism of the Kingsmen there, certainly, but it's for women. And we want you to come and experience the seven sorrows of Mary and hear and learn about the Old Testament heroine, Judith. That's right. How often do you get an education on Judith? So that's a healing retreat for women, November 10th to the 12th, Judith Retreat. You can go to judithretreat.com to learn more about the retreat, or go to Malvern Retreat House's website. Just Google Malvern Retreat House and you'll see it. You'll find it. So that's a little bit of an update of what's coming. As I said, on this coming Monday is our golf outing, so we'll be prepping for that. And when we come back in about 2 minutes, we're going to be talking about the provision of God. We're going to be talking about the ways in which God provides in our life, but especially the manner, the processes, if you will, of entering into that provision, the waiting game. The 11th hour. What is the 11th hour? That's the hour when the laborers go into the master's field and they're coming in at the end of the day, right? Laborers go out in the beginning, some in the midday, and then the end of the day. And what happens? The master gives everyone the same wage. Very tough for the early risers to understand, but the master is generous, and this is the provision of God. Speaks to the 11th hour provision. That's the 11th hour when they go out into the fields. That's the 11th hour of the day. So God is like that. He's like that with provision in our lives. We must wait. We must wait for that invitation. We must wait for that prompting to go and seek and find. And again, as Christ says, whoever seeks will find. Whoever knocks, the door will be open to them. We're going to be talking about the provision of God. It can be a very frustrating experience. Teaches us to trust, teaches us to wait, have holy waiting. That is a challenge for us, especially for us as men. Why? Because we're asked with our gifts as men to provide for our families, to do all the things that a man should do. And sometimes, we don't like waiting. We want to get answers. We want it now. We're problem solvers. And sometimes the best thing for a man to do is to stay prayerful, stay vigilant, be active. Don't sit back. Don't wait. Don't wait and do nothing. When we wait on God, it's not a matter of being, still and sitting there and just, not moving. That's not what we're saying. But sometimes it means actively engaging what you're called to do at the present moment, but being open and waiting and discerning. So with about 20 seconds left, remember, we're going to be talking about that after the break. We're up against a hard break here. We're going to go right to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the wonderful ways in which God shows his love for us. So if that's where you're at right now, stay tuned. You want to hear that. You want to hear this program. You want to just kind of digest this, because I know it's a difficult process to enter into. We'll be right back.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
My dear sisters in Christ, are you in need of healing? Are you suffering in silence about your current or past trauma? Then it's time to seek some healing from the Divine Physician. Hi, I'm Mark Houck, founder of the Judith Healing Retreat for Women, and I invite you to join your fellow sisters in Christ in seeking healing for your pain. Join our dynamic Judith leader team for a weekend like no other. Nestled at the cozy and comfortable Fatima House in Bucks County, the Judith Retreat is a unique experience that is designed to gently bring women to a place of hope and lasting peace. Drawing on the seven sorrows of Mary and the Old Testament heroine Judith, women will be brought through a four-day, three-night journey that has proven to provide healing in the lives of women of all ages. If this sounds like something you could benefit from, then I invite you to visit judithretreat.com to learn more.
The Philadelphia Catholic Grandparents Association will sponsor a day-long conference on Saturday, August 26th at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Wynwood. Topics include your biblical mandate as grandparents, the importance of grandparents to the church, the family, and society. Keynote speakers include Jim and Joy Pinto of EWTN's At Home with Jim and Joy and Catherine Wiley, founder of the Catholic Grandparents Association. Call 888-510-5006 for more information.
All right, here we are. The King's Men, Mark Houck, your host, live Friday, August 25th. Feast of St. Louis. Now, St. Louis of France, St. Louis of France, was a great king. That's amazing. I love how these kings, you know, these kings were canonized. I think it's awesome. Now when you're a king, we talk about leader, protector, provider, or the three offices of Christ: the priest, prophet, king, the supernatural offices of Christ. You know, we're all invited into priest, prophet, and king. You think of leader, protector, provider. The king must protect his kingdom and the people within it, and protect the common good, and also provide for them. So when we think of being a good king, we must be a good provider of the people and their needs. And what does King Louis say to Philippe, his son? Have a tender, pitiful heart for the poor. No doubt his canonization was in large part because of his mercy and tenderness for the poor. No doubt that this was key to his sanctity and holiness. Okay, so we're talking today about the provision of God, and we're talking about, you know, how tenderly and mercifully God cares for his people. Now, Matthew chapter 6, and I don't have my Bible open, so forgive me for the paraphrase. And we see Jesus saying to his disciples and the people, be anxious in nothing. Why are you so concerned? Don't you know that every hair is counted on your head, and that there's not a sparrow falls out of the sky, that God is not aware of it? That God takes care of the sparrows and provides for all their needs. And he goes on to say in Matthew 6 that You know, why are you concerned about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear? All this the pagans seek. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness, as an important point in this teaching of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things that you're seeking will be given to you, given unto you. And so this is the provision of the King of kings, the most perfect king, who loves his people more tenderly, more pitifully. He has that pitiful heart for all of us. We are the poor. We are his poor little children. And he doesn't neglect us. He says in the scriptures, I will never abandon you or forsake you. I will never abandon you. But there are times in our lives, is there not? And we all experience these things, where we feel abandoned, that God is not very close to us. He's always close to us, but we don't feel how close he is. And he's probably closer to us than we realize. But we feel like on some level that he's abandoned us. And so we're entering into that suffering time, that waiting time, the Christ time on the cross, the waiting for God's great provision. And so God sometimes removes his closeness in the sense of the consolations, yes, the consolations of God. He removes that so we can draw closer to him. And so God allows this time of waiting, does he not, in our lives. And we're in the wilderness. We're in time of our lives, and we have to wander a little bit. And yet we must stay focused. We must stay focused on God. We must keep our eyes fixed on Christ, and we must continue to persevere and walk the path we've never walked potentially before, but we know we must step out and move forward, trusting that God will provide. Now, what does that look like for us as men, as fathers who are trying to provide for our families? We must stay prayerful. We must have a good prayer life. We must stay prayerful, committed to that, not neglecting that, even though we're not seeing the fruits of that prayer just yet. And this requires a man to persevere. He doesn't see the immediate fruits of his prayer, but he's staying prayerful, and he's asking God to provide, and he's asking God to bless him and his choices. Now, see, God has given us free will, and so God doesn't always reveal everything to us and make it so abundantly clear. He wants us to grow in trust. He wants us to grow in faith. And so he allows us to walk sometimes in quandary, with a little confusion, because he wants us to grow. And so we must persevere in times when we say, I don't know where God is here, but I know he's here. I don't know where, I can't find him. I can't see him, but I know he's present. So I walk. I walk in that confidence that I am a beloved son of God. And here we are. You're leading as your family, right? As father, as husband. You're still a beloved son. And so you walk in that love, in that knowledge, and you walk forward and with confidence, saying, although I do not know what my next step or chapter in my life will look like, I move forward in confidence, knowing that I'm loved, that God loves me, that God wants to take care of me. And if I stay true to him and keep my eyes on him, and my prayer is always before him, Lord, show me your will. Help me to lead my family. Help me to provide for all their needs. It may not be easy. The Lord didn't say it was going to be easy. What did he say? Take up your cross and follow me. It wasn't easy on the way of the cross. It was painful. It was arduous. It was hard. Jesus fell 3 times. And so in that process, we see the Lord saying, don't worry. We must remember that even though we're asked not to worry, it doesn't mean that the path's going to be easy. I think that's where the confusion for us is. New believers, sometimes we say, well, you said not to worry, be anxious in nothing, and that, you know, everything will be given to me. Right. Yes, that is true. But that doesn't always equate to smooth passage. It wasn't smooth on the waters, I'm sure, with Peter walking on it, but yet he did walk on water. there was a storm brewing. There was a squall there. The Sea of Galilee is like one of these great lakes, right? And, you know, you look over a great lake. Have you seen Lake Erie or Lake Michigan or something? Ontario, Superior, whatever. You see these, it looks like an ocean. Well, imagine the Sea of Galilee is pretty wide. I haven't been to the Holy Land, but from what I've heard, Sea of Galilee is pretty large. Large body of water. And so it would be pretty scary. So even though we're walking on water and the Lord gives us the provision and the grace to do those things, we're still walking amidst some turmoil. Now remember that there is legions of angels who are not there to help us. We have our guardian angel, but there's a legion, and many legions, who want to disrupt us and distract us. And I think this is why we lose our focus and why we give up in our prayer life and why we say, see, God's not hearing my prayer. Because these powers and principalities, and remember that's what Jesus calls them, powers and principalities that are much smarter than you, that have superior intellect, can frustrate the path and interrupt and distract. And so we must stay focused. If we don't stay focused and keep our eyes on Jesus, we will start to listen to those negative voices. And we will start to say, yeah, you know, I need to do this on my own. God's not here for me. I need to make this happen now. And so that's what happens. The Lord is this close to bringing you to where he wants you to be. But we say, no more. I'm going to take over. I'm going to take the wheel, as that song says, Jesus, take the wheel. I'm going to take back the wheel, and I'm going to steer the ship. I'm going to navigate where I think the Lord wants me to go. And we got to be very careful with that mindset. There might be good discernment in that, even in that thought process, if you have a good prayer life. But likely, when you say, no more, I'm gonna just do what feels right, and we start basing decisions on feelings and what's comfortable, it might be, a deviation, because it's not what Jesus said would happen. It might be likely a deviation from the true path, the true way, and it's going to become harder. You may have short-term answers, but in the long run, it's not going to be for the best. And that's where the great provision of God is. It is in the long run. It is in eternity. It is an eternal perspective. What is best for our salvation? You see, the Lord won't allow certain things to come into our lives because it's not good for our salvation. And so sometimes we have opportunities that come in our lives and we say, hey, this is a great opportunity. I should take advantage of this. But is it best for your salvation? Maybe you're making more money. Maybe your lifestyle is going to be a lot cushier. But is it best for eternity? Your eternal soul. God knows this. And this is what we want. God didn't say he was going to give us a life of a pleasure, a life of a soft experiences, golden parachutes. He didn't say this is what we were going to experience. In fact, he said the road is hard, you know, that it's easier for the camel to pass through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the gates of heaven. So when you hear that, a life of softness, of pleasure, material things, okay? When we see those, hear these words, we have to say, wow, does that make it harder for me to walk the way of the cross? It might. It might take you away from that because you're seeking things that are not going to bring hardship. You want to avoid that at all costs. And so that becomes the great confusion for us as providers in our family is, I want to provide for my family, but what does that mean? Does that mean that I give them everything they want, that I get 3 or 4 vacations a year, that I have a big house? God never said, I'm going to give you a big house when he said, I will provide for you. All these things will be given unto you, the food, the clothing, the corporal needs. The Lord will give them. Look at the Israelites in Egypt. They complained. We want meat, Lord. He's given them manna. He's given bread from heaven. And they say, no, we don't want that anymore. Give us meat. We want meat. And what does he do? He brings the quail. The Lord will provide. Then they get sick of the quail. You know, water. Give us water. And he provides. He provides everything we need, but he doesn't always give us everything we want. There's the rub right there. He gives us everything we need to sustain our souls, our bodies, our lives, but he doesn't always give us everything we want. Why? Because it's probably not good for us. If God gave you everything that you want, it would probably lead you to down the road of perdition, to hell. You see, if we got everything we wanted, it was always instant gratification. There's no journey. There's no virtue there. It's all instant gratification. I want this. I feel like I want this. I like this new car. I want this house. I want this vacation. I want this for my kids. I want this schooling. I want this. The Lord says, it's not good for you. And you say, well, how do you know that, Mark? Well, I just know the path. I've been walking it, right? So I know what the Lord has done in my life. He says no a lot to me. I want certain things, but the Lord says no. And we have to trust that when he says no, that there's a good reason for it. And so he may not want all the things that you want for yourself. He says, seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Yes. But what are you asking for? Are you asking for pleasures for yourself? Or is it for the greater and glory and honor of God? Think about it. The things that you're asking for, are they connected to the building up of the kingdom? What does Jesus say, Matthew 6? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you must seek and attach your requests of God to that. If it be your holy will. Lord, allow this to happen if it be your holy will. And the Lord says, no, it's not my holy will. You say, okay, by the grace of God go I. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The Lord has taken away. So maybe you find yourself in an unemployment situation, or you find yourself, you know, discerning what's my next move for the family. Are we going to move? Are we going to move our family across country? Are we going to relocate? What, you know, does the Lord want me to really relocate? Is it, you know, you start thinking all these things. Does the Lord want me to put my family through all this? And you start making all these assessments based upon human emotions. As best as you can, remove the emotions and focus on God. That's why your prayer life has to be really good. If your prayer life isn't really good, you're going to become distracted by the devil and his minions who are going to say, yeah, you don't want to do that. Oh, look what you got now. You got this. You got all this here. Why would you want to do that? The Lord may be calling you, like Abraham, to go into a foreign land, a place where he is unknown. But it's milk and honey. You see, you're going to a place that is unknown, but that's where the true blessing and the fruit lies. So I'm not saying that means you got to relocate your family. I'm just saying whatever your situation is, it may be a job change. It might be a refocus, maybe going back, getting educated in a new field. You see, it's a myriad of things that could happen. It might mean sacrificing for your kids. I was with a friend. We were out to lunch, and I said, you know, I can't provide everything, you know, that I want to give my kids. And he says, that's okay. You give them what you need. I said, well, what if my kids don't have new shoes, as I guess I posed him. He says, if your kid has to go to school in bare feet, you explain to him that he goes to school in bare feet, and this is the way he sacrifices for the family. And my dad's in ministry, and this is how I help support my dad's ministry. It was beautiful. And I'm not saying that's what I'm asking you or even my kids to do. I just thought it was a great perspective that you teach your children the great blessings of God and what that looks like. And so here we are, about a minute left. We're coming up against another hard break. And I want you to open your minds up, friends, today to see that what we want is not always what God wants. But what God wants is what is best. I don't know why we miss that in our, maybe it's in some sort of discernment class or something we didn't take, or we missed, or we fell asleep or whatever, that somehow in discernment we thought that was supposed to be the easy road. Well, in discerning, that doesn't always mean easy, and it doesn't always mean a lack of sacrifice. And as we so we make our requests of God, know that we are asking not my will be done, but your will be done, Lord. That's what Jesus makes that request, does he not, in the agony in the garden? Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. There's his request. He doesn't want to walk that way, his human heart. But he says, not my will be done, but yours, Father. And what does the Father say? It will be hard, son. And he equips him. He sends the angels to minister to him, strengthens him, and he moves forward. We'll be right back.
The Central Association of the Miraculous Medal invites you to join them Sunday, September 9th at 4 p.m. to celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Good Health at the Miraculous Medal Shrine in Germantown. They'll be celebrating the feast in collaboration with the Indian Catholic community. This event includes special prayers for the sick, the Miraculous Medal Novena, Solemn High Mass, Our Lady of Good Health Novena, procession with Our Lady of Good Health statue, and the rosary in different languages. Find out more by visiting miraculousmedal.org.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org, call us at 215-345-1570, or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
Attention, dear Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners. The End of the Wild Retreat Weekend for Men is returning to the Philadelphia area in 2017. Hi, I'm Mark Houck, founder of the King's Men, and I want to invite all men in our listening audience to consider joining us at one of our upcoming End of the Wild weekends. We will be hosting this transformative retreat at our brand new leadership training center in gorgeous Bucks County in May and September. Come and experience your masculinity in ways like never before. The Kingsmen will be introducing new activities and experiences for men as we continue to unpack our manly roles of leader, protector, and provider. We will also be returning our Into the Wild program to the Pittsburgh, Arizona, and Texas areas in 2017. For more information about the upcoming Into the Wild retreat and to view a full schedule, visit IntoTheWildWeekend.com. Space is always limited, so reserve yours soon. Hope to see you in God's wilderness.
We are back, final 15 minutes or so of the Kingsmen live radio program here Friday the 25th of August. And I'm just looking through the Magnificat in here, and we're talking about the provision of God. And right before the break, we were saying how when we ask God for something, that his answer sometimes is no. And it might be no, and son, I'm sorry, it's going to get harder. Wow. That's the provision of God. Now, the journey's worth it, and in the end, it's all about sanctification and holiness and growing closer to God, building up the kingdom, and securing that wonderful place in the Book of Life, that place in heaven. I'm reading the Magnificat, and the meditation today is appropriate, and esteem is formed by sacrifice. And okay, today is the Feast of St. Louis, and certainly a great king who understood how to sacrifice for his people. He went, did two crusades, and he died in the last crusade that he was on, and gave the ultimate sacrifice. So here's Formed by Sacrifice by Rita Simmons here. If you have your Magnificat, you might have seen this today. But she's an award-winning poet and author of three books, poetry. Those books are Souls in the City, Bitterness, and Sweet Love. Isn't that what we're talking about? And Greeting the Seasons. So Rita Simmons said this, and this is the meditation in the Magnificat today. Formed by sacrifice. I asked, what does it look like to love the Lord with all one's mind and heart and soul? I saw our father Abraham trudging up the hill, sword in hand, full of dread, for what he meant to carry through. I saw the wood on Isaac's back, his only son, a nation's hope, a holocaust without a clue. Then I saw the Son of Man carrying the cross, like a cup he could not pass, or a ram caught in the bush,
His heart, his mind, his soul in play, the Father's will on display, his only Son free and stuck to wood.
Wow, does that not sum up exactly what we were just talking about? If you've been with us the last 20 minutes, we were talking about the provision of God and how difficult that is to accept, that it's often a road of sacrifice. We're talking about Abraham going into the promised land and leading his people, leading God's people to the promised land through his departure from what was comfortable to him. Sarah and him got up and went to a new land. And Sarah didn't understand why, but Abraham said, well, we gotta do this. And sometimes us as fathers, we're like Abraham. We got to take our family to new places and do things that maybe are uncomfortable or a sacrifice for everyone. It's not easy. Again, the prayer is not, Lord, make my life easy. Lord, help me to provide an easy life for my children. That's not what we're meant to do as fathers and husbands. Our goal is not to provide an easy life. Let me give my children a life of ease, of a silver spoon, right? That's not what we're talking about. The provision of God, we get great consolations, don't get me wrong. In the great provision of God, you will do amazing things. You will travel to amazing places. You will see and do amazing things. But most of the time, it will be a life of sacrifice, a life living under your means. The problem for a lot of us when we try to provide for our families is we live over our means, myself included. We live over our means. And when we ask God to do things for us, we have to remember that He cooperates with us too and our will, and he doesn't take over our will. So he allows us to make choices. And as we reflect on, like, what are my needs for my family? Well, we must ask ourselves as men, as leaders of our family, what is it that I'm trying to provide for my children and my wife? And is this necessary? So God cooperates with us. He works with us, even despite our brokenness, despite our tendency to ease, to pleasure, to hedonistic things. He'll still work with us, and he'll give us graces. Of course, he's not. He's a benevolent and loving Father. He's tender. He's merciful, and he doesn't abandon. But the best is when we truly let go. What does Jesus say to the rich young man? We heard this at Mass not too long ago. The rich young man, who says, Lord, Master, show me, what is the way to heaven, essentially, right? And he says, follow the commandments. And he says, I've done all those things. What else am I lacking? The rich young man. He says, you lack one thing. Sell everything you own and come follow me. Wow. And the boy left unhappy. The young man was unhappy because he had many possessions. What are you attached to? Are you attached to getting your children to heaven and securing that place for them and your wife? Are you attached to that? Are you attached to worldly things? Be in the world, Christ says, but not of the world, like the apostles were. They are in the world, but not of the world. So you have to ask ourselves, as I ask in the Lord's provision, the Lord wants to provide. And the Lord isn't saying, I want you to live in a shack. That's not what the Lord's saying. I want you to live in a shack, and I want you to live on ramen noodles the rest of your life. That's not what the Lord is saying, okay? Some people are called to live a life of poverty, and that's a charism. And other people are called to live in the world, be leaven in the world, and to use their great resources and great wealth to help other people. Is that not St. Louis of France today? He was a king. On the world stage, he promoted Christianity. And he counseled Philip to have a heart set on God. Fix your whole heart upon God. And he says, always bear in mind the people, rule and govern them with justice and moderation, and have a tender and pitiful heart for the poor. In other words, give from your wealth to the poor. So God allows great wealth to some people, praise God, to be able to give and care for the needy in the church, the poor especially. And some of us are in ministry, and we depend on people of great means to help us sustain the kingdom in the manner which we're called to. And so that's your great gift. But here's the thing. When we think of provision, we must think of these things as not belonging to ourselves. If you're a man who's got millions, billions, let's say, and there are plenty of those out there, and you're a man of God and your faith, you must remember that your great wealth is a gift to you. It's not yours. You didn't earn it. You didn't somehow merit this because of some thing you did. God chose that he would bless you in this manner. Now, yes, you used your talents. No one's saying that you didn't use your talents, but those are God-given, right? So we must remember that when we use our talents and it accumulates great wealth, that that is part of the gift of God and the benevolence of God and the provision of God. And so we see it as God's, not ours. Because unless we had, he didn't give us those talents first, we wouldn't be able to accomplish whatever we accomplished and accumulate whatever we've accumulated. So we must always give it back to God. And so as you see in the story of Cain and Abel, we see Cain and we see Abel. And we see the one brother giving God the first fruits. I believe that Cain kills Abel, right? So Abel gives God his first fruits, his best fruits, his most precious lamb. And Cain gives God grain and that provision. But Abel takes the best thing that he has and he offers it to God, whereas Cain takes from his surplus. There's a difference there. And this is really tied back into the provision of God. And so we must think about that God is not outdone in generosity. At Mass a couple weeks ago, we see in scriptures that God loves a cheerful giver. St. Paul says this. God loves a cheerful giver. And so if you're listening today and you're a man of great means, a woman of great means, that God may be asking you through your prayer life to give more. You say, I don't know if I can give more. I give a lot. Give more. God will continue to bless you. The people that I know of great wealth, they give almost 90% of their income away, and God keeps blessing them even more. Now they have great wealth to begin with. Anyhow, the point of the matter is we must see all these things, our wife, our children, our assets, our homes, our lives, our income, as gift. And we must not become attached to those things, even the children. You can become disorderly attached to providing for the needs of your children. And nothing's too good for my children. I'll send them to the finest schools. They'll have the finest clothes. They'll have the finest of everything. We can become attached to that mindset. And that's not a healthy mindset. You must detach from that, as we talked about at the beginning of the End of the Wild weekend in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago. We must detach to hear God's voice. And so we must detach from the wants. I want this. I want that. I want this for my family. And say, okay, that's fine. Now, are they a good? If it's a choice between two goods, okay, what's the greater good? And it might mean detaching from that want and say, okay, Lord, not what I want, but what you want. And this brings us to that 11th hour again. So sometimes we have to wait, and that can be a very tedious process. It could take months, could take years. I remember when we started the Kingsmen 13 years ago, actually 11 for the full-time apostolate, it was about a good year of discernment of God's will for that. And that's a long time to discern. Do we step out in faith and start a new men's ministry? We were looking for signal graces, and so in that year we received the confirmations and consolations of God that said, yes, this is the will of God. We couldn't mistake it. It was the will of God on August 28th, 2006, that me and my co-founder, me stepping out to go full-time and my co-founder step out and to assist me part-time to start the King's Men Apostolate. Damien Wargo, my co-founder, helped me in the early days. And what a blessing for both of us as single men. We were able to be single-hearted. But as we become a married man, we're double-minded, as Paul says. We have to be. We have to be concerned about our matters of our wife and our children. And so this all has to be factored in as we think about, as we wrap up our time together. You have to think about, you can't just neglect your duties as husband. Say, oh, everything's God, he's going to provide. You got to move forward with your gifts, and you have to pray. You have to pray diligently and ask God to constantly be revealing yourself to yourself. As Augustine would say, Lord, reveal me to me. Lord, reveal myself to me. You know, what are my true intentions here? What's my desire? And then ask God to provide. But move forward with the talents and the gifts you have and make good decisions based upon opportunities and things that you see in front of you. Be prayerful. Move forward. Always discerning. Move forward. Always discerning. Okay, this is clearly, if you're seeing sin come into the picture and you're derailed and you're distracted and you're engaging in sinful things, guess what? That's not the will of God. So get off that track and get back on the other track. All right? So you have to always be praying and discerning. Okay, does this look like God's will? Okay, I'm seeing confirmation here. I'm moving forward. My family's thriving. We're all doing well. Not materially, we're all doing well. We're healthy. There's joy. There's joy in our home. That's more important than happiness in the home. There's joy. And then you see the fruits. You see the provision. And oftentimes it's going to come at the end of the day, when we're laboring, we're praying, we're working in the field, we're doing all the way, and God shows you at the end his generosity. And for all of us, that's ultimately fulfilled in the eternal banquet, which is our salvation and our glory to be found only in heaven. And so that's been the program today. We're talking about the provision of God. I hope it's been helpful. Maybe you say, hey, I don't get this. Well, give me a call. Email me, mark@thekingsmen.org. We can talk further. Hey, I'm a work in progress here. I'm no expert. I'm just trusting in God's provision for me and my family. And I move forward always in confidence, knowing that as a beloved son, that he's not going to abandon me. He's not going to forsake me. That he wants nothing but the best for me. But ultimately, what that is what he wants, not what I want. So as we surrender our will today to God, we just ask him, through the intercession of St. Louis of France, to give us a tender and pitiful heart as we approach all the people in our lives this day, whether poor, rich, in between, wherever. Ask the Lord today to give you a tender and merciful heart to approach all that we encounter, all that we meet, with his great love and mercy. This has been the Kingsmen Radio Program. I'm Mark Halk. I'm so blessed to have been with you. We will be with you again in another 2 or 3 weeks, whatever that is, in the second Friday in September. Till then, God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit communicating